Today's shiur is Masechta Shavuos Daf Mem Vav. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach and Dam Mem Vav Amud Aleph on the second line. As we've been learning from the Mishnah and the Gemara, where the Mishnah and the Gemara have been teaching us that if there's a dispute between an employer and an employee about wages, so the way we've learned is that the Sochir, the worker, makes a Shavuah, and after he makes the Shavuah, the employer has to pay him. But we also learned that it depends what the dispute is about. If the dispute is about if he was paid wages or not, that's where Shmuel said the halacha indeed is that he makes a shvua that he wasn't paid and he is able to collect the salary. However, if the dispute is over what was the wage, what was the salary, then that special takana that was made on behalf of the employers is not in place. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yimbi Ba'aba Shochalim Be'Rav, they asked the following shail from the Shiva Rav. The Shmuel, they asked this question to Shmuel, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, what will be the halacha where Uma M. Shtayim could start stali, where the worker says that I was promised 2 sloim for this job, and he says, and the employer says that he was only promised 1. So how does the halacha look at this situation? Is this comparable to every other situation in the Torah that we've learned? The halacha is that whenever there's a dispute, the Torah says that the person who has to pay swears, and after he swears, he's off the hook. Yishava. But does the owner, does the employer swell, or does the employee swear? Amalem, bezu yishava balabayis. In this case, that the employer should swear, that's all he promised. V'yafsir umen, and the employee will then lose out, because explains the Gemara, the Ktzitza, when it comes to speaking about the amount that was agreed upon, Vaday mitka dikiri inchi, that's something that people certainly remember. And therefore, the special rules that we've been giving to the employee, the special rights that we've been giving to the employee, will not be applicable in this situation. And Rishonim discuss exactly what is the Gemara speaking about. The Rif, based on the Rambam, says that we're speaking specifically about a case where there's a moedah b'miksas. The employer agrees that he promised him, and that he promised him The only question is that, and he agrees he owes it. So in this case, the halacha is that this is a classical example of moedah b'miksas. And now the Gemara's question is, even though this is a classical example of moedah b'miksas, do we say that it's the same and therefore the one that was moedah b'miksas, meaning the employer swears and he won't have to pay? Or will this be the same as the halachas that we've been learning, that Chazal were particularly partial to the employee, and it will be sufficient if the employee swears, that will be enough for him to be able to collect. The Rimagash says that that's not the case. He says in such a case, when we have this dispute between the employer and the employee, that's where it's no different that we give the employee the special right. But the question is, where is this said? Is it only in a case of moedah b'miksas, or is it even in a case of kofer hakol? Ask the Gemara, any, how is that true? Ask the Gemara, that'll be enough for an employee to swear. But ask the Gemara, v'tani Rabba Bar Shmuel, we learned in a braisa kotzitz, if there was a dispute between the employer and the employee on how much is the salary, the halach is, hamatz b'chaver olavaraya, that he should bring edim. How much was the salary for? Vilay Maisi Raya, and if they can't bring Adam to that effect, paka that the worker lose out. Mai, says the Gemara, I don't understand that brisa. Why is that the halacha? Shouldn't the halacha be the yishalom balabayis v'yafsar uman, that the employer should have to swear? Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman responded, let's study ketanim. The way to understand the brisa is as follows. Oy may viraya, the employee should bring a raya that he was indeed promised to, and then if he could bring such a raya through Edim, Yitol, he'll be entitled. And if he is unable to do so, Yishava Balabais, then what will happen is that the owner will swear, like it is throughout Halacha of Maida Bemixis, V'yafsid Uman, and then the worker will lose out and not get anything because of the Balabais Yeshua. Meisvei, Frecht asked the Gemara, the Brisa says, Hanaisen Tele Saluman, if somebody gives a garment to someone to fix, Uman Amer, and the person who's supposed to fix it says, Katsatz Tele Shtayim, you promised me that you would give me 2 slime for this job. I only promised you 1 seller. So the halacha is, as long as the uman is holding on to the talis, a balabayis lavi raya. So then the balabayis, the owner of the garment, has to bring proof that he only promised 1. And without that, he can't get back his garment. And this will be an example of a motzi mechaver olav raya. And the Rishonim make a point. Well, why would we call this necessarily an example of motzi mechaver olav raya, where everybody agrees that this garment doesn't belong to the tailor or whoever? Everybody's in agreement that it belongs to the person who owns the garment. So why is it called a case of Motzi Mechavera Olav Araya? Explain the Rishonim that since the Uman in this case is the Muchzik, he's holding on to the garment, and therefore he could always have said that he owns the garment, he bought the garment, and the fact that he's the Muchzik. So here we learn a new understanding of Hametz Mechavera Olav Araya. Hametz Mechavera Olav Araya is even in a case where we know that you're not the owner. But as long as you're the muchzik in the asset that's under discussion, it automatically falls into the category of Hametz Mechavera Olav Araya. So, nosnoloi, if the uman gave back the garment to the owner of the garment, Bismanoi, if he's asking for payment on the day that the job was done, Nishba, so the worker swears that he was promised 2 slime for Nital and he's entitled to 2 slime. However, Ovismanoi, if the time for payment has passed, we say, Hametz Mechaver Olav Araya, and now that the owner of the garment is holding on to the garment, if the person who was working on the garment wants to get more, he's going to have to make a shua. But what do we see from here? Bismano. But if it's still just the day when, if it's still just the day that the job was done, Bismano miyah nishva v'naitel. He just swears and he'll get the 2 slime. Amai. But why is that true? Haven't we begun today's shir that when we have a dispute about how much was the agreement for this deal, we said that Yishava Balabayis, that the Balabayis swears, and he won't have to pay more. V'yafsar uman. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kamani, who is the Tan of this price, Rabbi Yehuda? This price reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Dama Kozman, Sheshvur, Noite, it's Balabayis. There, wherever Midaraisa, there's a shvua on the Balabayis, Chazal made a new rule, as we've been discussing, and Chazal said that we transfer the shvua, instead of the owner swearing, the worker swears, and that is a nishba v'noitel, and then he collects as much as he wants because of the special rights that were given to a worker. Ask the Gemara, hey, Rabbi Yehuda, you're claiming, says the Gemara, that this reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Says, which Rabbi Yehuda are you referring to? Ilema, Rabbi Yehuda the Masnissen, the Rabbi Yehuda that's mentioned in the Mishnah, on Daf Membeis Amabeis. Says the Gemara, in that Mishnah, actually, Achmure Kamachmer. In that Mishnah, Yehuda's opinion is that we aren't so generous to the worker. The Tanah, the Mishnah says, where a worker is claiming to the employer that you have to pay me my salary, the Chum's opinion was that even in a case of Kofer Akol, where the employer claims that he paid up entirely and he owes the employee nothing, there was still, according to the Tanakam, according to the Chumim, a special rule for the benefit of the worker that he swears and he takes what he claims is owed to him. Comes Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that Achatavi Shah Mixis Ra Haidah, that in the case where the employer says that he owes nothing, then the employer won't, nobody has to swear. Only in a case of Maidav Mixis, where the employer agrees that he owes some money. So since that's the case, as we've been learning throughout our parak, Rabbi Yehuda says that there, instead of the employer swearing, Chazal said the employee swears. But if it's a case where there's no Maidav Mixis, Rabbi Yehuda won't give special privileges to the employee. And here we're saying Rabbi Yehuda gives the special privileges to the employee, and that where the owner says that he paid, when the owner says he paid and the worker says he didn't, we just tell the worker, you swear and you won't have, and you'll collect. So which Rabbi Yehuda are we referring to? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda the Braisa. It's referring to Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa. The Tanya the Braisa says, Kozman, the socher, that as long as the employee, Kozman Shleyavala is manai, where the time for payment has not yet come, the Braisa says, there is Nishba v'noitel. He swears and he collects his salary. Vimlav, if the time for salary for payment has passed, then the halacha is Nishba v'noitel, because as we said in our previous year, the assumption is that the employer doesn't want to violate the halacha bal tolin. The employee certainly wanted to pay up in a timely fashion, says the Gemara. Vam Rabbi Yehuda, to which Rabbi Yehuda said, Vimlav, so therefore, if it's past the time of payment, there we are in favor of the employer, Ein Nishba V'Noitel. Vam Rabbi Yehuda, MSI, Bezman Sha'amalai Tenli Schari Chamishim Dana, when the employee said to an employee, give me Chamishim Dana, Sheyesh Tuviyotcha, that you owe me. Voimis Kabaltim Hem Denizov, that you already received 25, and I only owe you 25. Sha'amalai Shtaim Kutsatstali, where the employee says, you promised me 2 slime for this job, and the owner and the employee says, like Kutsasti Lachala Achas, I only promised you 1 seller. Aval Amaloi, if the employee says, Lois Khatiha Ma'ilam, I never hired you at all. Ish Amaloi Schaticha, I hired you in the Satilach Kalskarcha, I already paid you entirely. Hamas Mechaverai Olavaraya. And if you can't prove it, we didn't give special privileges to the employer. So we see from here, Rabbi Yehuda taught in the Braisa that even when they're arguing over the amount of the salary, the worker could swear. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, we give this employee strong right. So Shmuel is have a holding like the Chachamim that aren't so generous to the employee. And hold that if there's an argument over how much was the payment, we go with the employer. Masla Rav Sheshi Brei Dravidi, Ella Katzatz, the Braisa that taught us where there was a disagreement about how much was the salary, Rav Yehuda he v'loi Rabbanan, that we're saying that this will be following the opinion of Rav Yehuda and not Rabbanan, says the Gemara, I don't understand. Hashta hech the machmer Rabbi Yehuda. In the place where Rabbi Yehuda is machmer, Rabbi Yehuda says that the halach is if they're arguing if he was paid at all, the employer says, I played you up entirely. And the employee says, you did not pay me. Rabbi Yehuda says that the employee is not just going to be able to make a shvua, he's going to have to bring proof. Makila Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan have been teaching us, in behalf of the employee, that they can make a shvuah. So now asking my hecha the mach maker of Yehuda. In the case where Yehuda is makel, where Yehuda says, where they argue over the salary, how much was it? Machmir Rabbanan, is it possible to say that the Rabbanan are going to be machmir? We already have a precedent that Rabbi Yehuda is the machmir, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan are makel. So now, how do we turn this around and say, how must we learn that when the Braisa said what Rabbi Yehuda says, everybody agrees to what he said there. And now, we have a big problem. If it turns out that everybody agrees that when there's an argument over the salary, we follow the opinion of the employee, we still give the employee the special rights, and we're learning now that both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim agree with that, so how will we understand the Shmuel's opinion that said, as we began our shiur today, that when they're arguing over the actual salary, everybody agrees that we don't go in favor of the employee, Elamai, what we're going to have to say? The Rabbanan are the ones of Yehuda's Machmer, and the Rabbanan are Mekel. V'elo ha'da Torah of Shmuel Kotzitz, ha'meitz v'chaver malavarai, mani. So if it turns out that everybody's going to hold that way, it's lo Yehuda Rabbanan. Elam Rabban, El says the Gemara, that the opinion that if they agree, they're arguing over the salary, and the Yehuda goes in favor of the employee, not the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan will hold Hamayitz Mechavera Olav Araya. And that is consistent with what Shmuel said. But the problem with that was that why over here the Rabbanan Machmer, and previously they were Maker, El Amar Rabbanan Bahakamavki. This is the basis of the Machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda Sover, Bida Raisa, when there's a Maid of a Mixis, Avdu Rabbanan Takanta Socher. That's where Chazal made a special rule on behalf of the employee. Ubed Rabbanan, when there's no Chiyiv Shvua, because it's no, when it's not Moed B'Mixis, have a Takanta. The Chiyiv Shvua in that case is only a Takanta Rabbanan, and says the Gemara, Takanta Takanta L'Rabbanan Takanta L'Evdinan. So to make a double Takanta, to indicate that there needs to be a Shvua, and also say that the Shvua should be switched around, doesn't work. Even in a case where the entire obligation of the Shvua is only midrabbanan, where the balbai, where the employee says, I paid up, and the employee says, you didn't. So really, there's no chi of Shvua midrabbanan. So here, still, the halacha is, that's why the halacha is that the socher swears. The Ktsitsa, on the case where they're arguing over the amount that was hired, that's not a case where we need to make a special rule on behalf of the own of the worker, because that's something that Mitka Tachir, the employer, remembers. And therefore, Chazal saw no reason to turn around the Chiyuvim. Nigzal Ketsa, the Mishnah said, in the case of Nigzal, you make a Shvua. What does that mean? Somebody who entered my home without permission, and he says, the owner of the home says, you took my home, you took something of mine without permission, and he says that you didn't. So the way we learned the Mishnah is that Chazal made a special rule on behalf of the Nigzal that he swears and he takes from the Gazlan what was stolen. Ask the Gemara, but why do we make such a rule? Maybe Dama V'Lay Mishkana. Maybe he indeed entered my home and he didn't say anything. He didn't take anything. The fact that somebody enters my home is not in any way a proof that he took anything. And the Gemara proves that point. Mila Amar Rav Nachman. Hayman Nokud Narga B'Yodei. If somebody's holding an axe, and he makes an announcement, I'm going to knock down somebody else's tree. And then ishtakach the kot v'shadi. And we indeed find the tree knocked down. It isn't necessarily a proof that this person with the axe and with the announcement necessarily knocked down the tree. Because why? It's people sometimes say things, but that doesn't mean that he actually did it. Hachinami, so in our case, indeed this person entered my home, but that isn't a proof that he took it. That isn't necessarily a proof that he took something. Amos, says the Gemara, there are Edom that saw him take something. Amos u'mishkana, they saw him take something. So ask the Gemara, v'lechse my mishkana. So if that's the case, what's the point of the Shvuah? We have Edom, and let the Edom offer their testimony, what they saw, and based on the testimony, we'll do what we have to do. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbah, Babachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Betana, Kelim, and Nitlach, Tachas, Kanafav. The Edom is saying that he took certain Kelim. However, the owner says that they were kept under his clothing, and that the Edom couldn't have seen. The Edom could only see big Kalim being taken out. And therefore, here's a case that it's not necessarily something that we could rely on what the Edom are saying. And that's the case that where Chazal said that the Nigzal makes a Shvuah and he'll get it. So our Gemara has introduced the concept of Ovid Inish, the Gozim V'loy Ovid. Sometimes people say things, but they exaggerate. Gozim means an exaggeration, but it doesn't mean they're going to do it. There was once a person who disappeared after indicating that Rahman Slan, he wanted to commit suicide. After he disappeared, an unidentified corpse was discovered in a nearby lake wearing clothing similar to the clothing of the missing man. The Nabi Huda now was asked if his wife could marry someone else or she need to be concerned that she's an Ashes Ish. The Nabi Huda said that although generally, we don't allow a woman to get remarried based on clothing identification, as the Gemara teaches us, because Chashina L'Shayla, we have to be concerned that maybe this missing husband in our Gemara lent his clothing to another man, and therefore we can't just rely that this body that was found was wearing this clothing. But in this case, that since the man had indicated that he, Rahman Salam, wants to commit suicide, coupled with the fact that a body with his clothing turned up shortly after his disappearance, it's sufficient grounds to say that this must be the husband and he never committed suicide. The Chasam Sofer is not satisfied with the Nadi Huda Psak, because in our Gemara we just learned, a person's announcements are not necessarily to be taken seriously, because our Gemara just said, Ovid Inish de Gozim V'loy Ovid. So the fact that he made this statement doesn't prove that he was going to carry it out. And because we have the concern of Chashina L'Shela, that maybe he gave away the clothing, we can't let her get remarried unless we have positive identification that this is indeed that person who is indeed the husband. So we have a rule throughout Shas, and that is Chazaka Komash Tachs Yodei Shel Adam Shloi, that anything that's movable and in my possession, the Chazaka is that it's mine. As we learned in Masechta Baba Basra very strongly, that this is only by Metatlin, but not by Karka. Karka we need to establish Chazaka. So, but by Metatlin, if I'm holding something, it's an indication that's mine. And even if you could bring Edom, that this is not mine, that it belonged to somebody else, and he just let me hold it, or he lent it to me, the person could always be believed when he says, the fact that I'm holding it, that makes me into the Muchzik, and the fact that I'm holding it makes me into Muchzik, that's why it's considered mine. I'm Rabbi Huda. So says the Rabbi Huda, Ruah, they saw somebody enter into someone else's house. And he put some kelim under his clothing, the yotza, and he leaves. And he says, that what I took belongs to me, I bought it from him. And the owner of that home says, it wasn't bought by you, I lent it to you. The loch is ein neman. He's going to have to return it to him. Even though but we have the chazaka that we just mentioned of chazaka kama shatach shal adam shaloi. In the case that he took it out surreptitiously, he's not believed. However, says the Gemara, v'loy marin, this that we said he's not believed, ela ba'al bayis she'ed oslam mechakelev. If it's the type of a person from whom the home he took it, is that the type of person who sells his kelim? Ava ba'al bayis oslam mechakelev, if the person, the kind of person that sells his kelim, then the person who claimed that he bought them, neman, that he's neman. But, points out Rashi, it's still, as we go back to a concept that we mentioned before, that it's going to be a case of shvus heses. Because here I'm claiming you owe me something, you're denying that you owe me something, but that will be an example of shvus heses. But now the Gemara adds a qualification. This that we said, that because this is not the type of person that sells items, so therefore we don't believe him when the person who's holding these items says, I bought them. It's only by things, Shane Dakum Lahatman. People are not embarrassed to walk around with. What the Gemara means to say, the fact that he is hiding them means that he's embarrassed that people should see that he needs to borrow things from other people. And that's why it's an indication that he borrowed it, not bought it. Aval, Dvaram Shadakal Hatman, things that people are embarrassed to walk around with publicly. So when he's carrying it under his clothing, it isn't the proof that he's trying to hide that he borrowed it. He's hiding it because this is the type of thing that people don't like to walk around with publicly, and therefore he's believed when he said that he bought it. And the way Rashi explains, even if the person from whose home he took it is not the type of person who necessarily sells items, so we should maybe say, well, this person doesn't sell items, it still wouldn't make a difference. Says Bryce further, Ein Dakal Hatman Nami Lamaran El Inish Deloit Sniya. Even if it's something which is not usually, people are not usually embarrassed to carry, it's only speaking about a person who's not the kind of person that's very private. Avil Inish Tznia. But if a person never does anything carrying publicly, so Haine Urcha, that's the way this person always behaves. And since this is the way this person always behaves, it's again, not an, it's, he could be believed when he said he bought it. Furthermore, V'loy Amarn Al Shiza Aymer Shulin, where the owner says, I lent this keli to you. So we have, the Baal Bayis has some, there's something to back up what he's saying. Avo, genuvim, if the Baal Bayis says, you stole them, lav kol minei, then we won't believe him when he says so. Because lav kol minei, we don't believe a person, lakzuki inish b'gnavi l'makzukinan, to accept when a person claims about another person that he's a ganav. Moreover, things that people lend and borrow. And therefore, that's the kind of case where the owner, under the right circumstances, is believed to say, I lent it to you, I didn't sell it to you. If it's something that is normally not lent, not rented, then the halach is, Neman, the person who has it, will be believed to say that he bought them, because it's not the kind of item that we should believe the owner when he says he lent it to you. Says the Gemara, the Shalach Rafuna Bar Oven, Tvarma Asuim Lahashkel Hasker, if this is a type of object that's lent or rented, Vamar Lekuchrein Biyadi, and the person that's holding it is saying, I didn't borrow it, he says that I bought it, ain't a neman. Says the Gemara, Kehad, the Rava Apik Zuzah the Sarbala, the Safra Dagara to Miyasme. There was a story where Rava took scissors and a Sefer Agarata from the Yisoymim that they got from their father's Yerusha. And the person who had originally owned those items brought Adam that they were his. And he says that their father, the father of the Yisoymim, didn't buy it from him. He borrowed it from him. And that's why Rava said that the original owner might take it back. But he only said that, but Dvar Masrim Lahashal Askir, the things that are normally lent. So the way the Rishonim, many Rishonim learn the Mishnah is that that's why the Gemara, this Halacha, the Gemara specifically speaking about Sifrei Agarata. The Sifrei Agarata were not that A, commonly learned, and B, there weren't that many, not that many people had them. And therefore, people normally just borrowed them. But other Sfarim don't necessarily have the same halacha. The other Rishonim that dispute this, and they say the story was with Sifrei Agarata, but there's no reason to differentiate, between different type of Sfarim. Amarava. We learned that Rava said that if two Edom say that somebody went into somebody's house and took out Kalim, the Baal Bayis swears, and based on that, we'll have to return it. Says the Gemara, not only does the Baal Bayis swear, which in the Mishnah we called him the Nigzal, but Afilu Shomer Nishba, if the Shomer says this, Afilu Ishtei Shel Shomer, or the wife of the Shomer, could swear instead of the Baal Bayis. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Bayra Papa Skirva Lakitai, what about the workers of the Baal Bayis? Can they swear also and be believed? And they'll be in the same category as a Shomer? Or a Shomer was appointed to be a Shomer. So by being appointed to be a Shomer, it's his job to watch what's in the house. Since it is his job to watch what's in the house, that's why he's Neman when he says this. But another person is not, wasn't appointed for that position. Since he wasn't appointed for that position, he doesn't have the same Nemanus, because it isn't his job to watch. And the Gemara actually remains with a teku on this question. Amalei Rabbi Yemel Rashi, Tana Naska, Tana Bekasa de Kaspa. If the owner of the Nigzal says that this person took out from his house a silver cup, Mai, what will be the halacha? That will he have the right to even make such a serious claim? Says the Gemara Chazina. So Ravashi responded, we have to see the circumstances. If the person from whom it was taken out is a wealthy man, and it's quite likely that in his home there are these types of cups. Oy, inish the mahapti, Mehemen, oy is a person that's a very honest person. That the mafti in Shigabei, many people leave things by him. So Nandaloch will be, as the Mishnah taught us, Mishtaba v'shakol. He makes a shvua, and it'll be that's the shvua of our Mishnah. Then the shvua's had nigzal. Vimloi. But if he's not in that category, just to make up such a claim, loy, he can't be believed. The Mishnah also said that a nachbal makes a shua and he's neman. That means that if somebody came into your home healthy and he walked out wounded and he says, because you hurt me, you wounded me, and the other person says that's not true, the halacha the Mishnah said was nishba v'neitel. So which the Gemara comments, Amar Yudah Mishmul, Loi Shana, El Mokum Shiach Lachavel Ba'atzmai. This halacha wasn't said in a place where a person could do this damage to himself. Ava V'mokum Sh'eni Yichayel Lachavel Ba'atzmai, Noitel Shaloi B'Shvua. If it's type of a situation where it's not possible that he could have self-inflicted, then for sure we don't even need a Shvua. It must be the person whose home I walked into did this to me. But ask the Gemara, just because it can't be self-inflicted, who says that somebody else did it to me? Maybe I fell. Answers the Gemara, Tanya Rav Chiya, yes, that could be sometimes a fair claim. But what happens if also in the Shikha Begaba Be'etzili Yodav, there's a bite on his back or under his armpits? That didn't come from falling, and it couldn't have been self-inflicted. In such a case, without a shvui even, we could assume that the person whose home he entered did it to him. But ask the Gemara, Dama Acha Avadlei, why are we so quick to say that it was the person whose home I went into did it to him? Maybe there was somebody else who did it to him, says the Gemara, Deleka Acher. But the Ritva says, it doesn't have to be that there's no one else in the home. Even if there is someone else in the home, but that person is not the person that could have possibly have done it. He was a zaken who's bedridden, Rechman Slan, or he's a cotton. In all these cases where it's even though there is someone else in the home, but that other person could not have possibly been the person that did it, it's in the same category as Leka Achad. The Mishnah said, another case of where the other person, where I make the Shvuah, is connected to Choshev. If the person who's supposed to make the Shvuah is a person that isn't trusted, says the Mishnah said, even if he's a person that made a Shvuah Shav. So says the Gemara, what does that mean? My afil shvav. What does that mean? It says the Gemara, let me buy you hanach the isbe kfiris moment. There is no situation. There's no question that with somebody denied with a shvua that he owes money, that he really does, that he owes money, that he doesn't owe money that he really owes, that that person is a confirmed shakrin, and we can't accept the shvua. Afil hanami. But even in a case, we just did a shvua shav. So a shvua shav, as we learned many times, is that he said something which is made out of gold, is made out of silver, something that's really not a very, it's not a very significant claim that he makes. He, I feel the clearest von Ba'amma, that makes him to a liar. Loi Mehemen. So ask the Gemara, when we're speaking about somebody who is confirmed to be a liar, so ask the Gemara, why don't we give also an example of somebody who violated a Shvuah Spitui that we discussed so extensively at the beginning of the Masechta? Answers the Gemara, Kik Tani Shvuah, the Kekamishtaba, Meshikha Kamishtaba. When we're speaking about a Shvuah, we're speaking about a Shvuah that at the moment the Shvuah was made, we know it's a lie. Av Shvuah Spitui. What's the case of Shvuah Beiti? Somebody makes a Shvuah that he will do something. In such a situation, the ikla main with the curse to kamishtaba. When somebody swore that he's going to do something, it's quite possible that what he's saying is true and he will fulfill it. So a shvua that isn't immediately obvious, not true, like tani. So ask the Gemara, when we spoke about shvius pitui, we spoke about two examples of shvius pitui. We spoke about an example of tenech oich v'loy oichel, where somebody made a shvua he's going to eat, somebody made a shvua that he's not going to eat, lahar lahetiv. So there, at the moment of the shvua, we have no way of knowing if he will or won't do it. But if somebody makes a shvua, spitu of a chalti, that I ate and he really didn't eat, or he made a shvua loichalti, I didn't eat when he really did eat. So at the moment the shvua was made, it was known if it was true or not true. Mayek lameimer, answers matana shvua shav. So tomorrow, when the Mishnah said the case of somebody who's considered a liar because he made a false shvua, that says the Gemara, the Mishnah used the example of shvua shav, but anything that's domile, anything that's similar to that, what does that mean? A shvua spitui, which at the moment that it was said was obviously not true, is the same as a shvua shav, and such a person is considered a hochsuk shakrin, and such a person is a person that the halacha cannot say you make a shvua.